When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I walk a straight line, shackle and chain. Oh, gruesome Gertie is calling my name. There is no mercy in this penitentiary. Just ask the Hill String Gang, Rango the Three.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to Bloody
Angola
podcast. 142 years in the making.
Complete story of America's bloodiest prison.
And I'm Jim Chapman.
I'm Woody Everton.
All right, and we're going to talk today about some current news with Louisiana State Penitentiary at Angola. And you know, it's hot out there. It's not only hot for free people, but it's also hot for prisoners.
Yeah, you ever see that? We call it, monkey twisters or something like that. When you look out over a field and you see the shimmering of the heat.
Oh, yeah.
They call it monkey something or others, but that's how hot it is right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you look out over just a agriculture field and you'll see these wisps, shimmers of heat coming off the field.
Yep. And so the inmates don't like it any more than society does, I guess, and or those that are free in society. And so they, a little while back, they filed a lawsuit against the state of Louisiana and the prison system protesting these work conditions. And I'm going to read you a quick article that these prisoners about this particular lawsuit. It says, for decades, Angola has forced prisoners to work in fields in extreme heat. Today, they urged a federal judge to halt that practice. Prisoners filed an emergency motion about working in the summer heat as part of a proposed class action lawsuit to end the farm line, which is forced agricultural labor at the prison for little or no pay. On June 18th of 2024, lawyers representing people locked up at Louisiana State Penitentiary urged a federal judge to halt operations at any time the heat index rises above 88 degrees. Yeah, that's middle of December around here. Beginning as early as this month, temperatures on the farm line are expected to routinely reach or exceed safe levels, creating a serious risk of injury or death to even the healthiest of individuals and even a greater risk to those with underlying health conditions. On Tuesday, U.S. District Judge Brian Jackson heard oral arguments from lawyers from the Department of Corrections and Promise of Justice Initiative, who is representing the Angola inmates. When prisoners are forced to work on the farm line, they are rarely given breaks of drinking water and lack necessary equipment, the lawyer said. Also, many incarcerated people have medical conditions that make them vulnerable to heat-related illnesses, but they are not exempt from work or even on the hottest days. There are hardships as well. Though the agricultural workers in Louisiana work alongside modern farming equipment, prisoners on the farm line are forced to grub in the dirt with bare, ungloved hands when drinking water is provided, and often it's not. It's dirty and full of insects. The men drink it just to stay hydrated and avoid passing out. Now, that's according to that initiative. Lawyers for the Department of Corrections countered with a very different picture of the farm line, claiming that clean water and Gatorade were readily available, and when the heat index was over 88 degrees, prisoners are forced to take a break every half hour. That didn't jibe with what lawyer Linda Wright heard from her clients. Gatorade has never been available, she said. DOC attorneys also warned that halting the farm line during the hot days would deprive thousands of prisoners of fresh vegetables harvested in the fields and used in the prison kitchens. Judge Jackson declined to make a ruling, but seemed concerned about some of the standards that were put in place for the farm line work, including the lack of sunscreen in shaded areas for breaks. Every dermatologist in America says sunscreen is mandatory, Jackson said. That's an issue that certainly affects human health in this day and age. Everyone knows you got to have sunscreen if you're going to be out in the sun. The request to halt the farm line during extreme heat is part of a broader class action lawsuit brought by prisoners to end the practice of forced agricultural labor at Angola altogether. So that is the, I guess, intro into that.
Yes.
And they did. They filed a lawsuit.
Yeah, and that's what they do. And let me tell you something. I've worked in the cell blocks. I've seen the lines, seen them pushing the lines and all that. I guess what? It is fucking hot.
Sure.
And they have the monkey shimmers or whatever going across the field. But you know what? You're sentenced to life for however many years at hard labor. And then I don't know how hard it is to hoe all day long. I imagine it sucks, but you know what?
Sometimes it's
going to be hot. Sometimes it's going to be cold.
Yeah.
Yeah. The next time they're going to be filing a lawsuit saying it's too cold when it gets below 40 degrees. I don't know, man. I can tell you this, on cell blocks, we have to bring them in iced water, but it never had bugs and shit in it. I mean,
we're going to get into the actual lawsuit. We're going to go over the highlights for you, and then we're going to tell you about these three guys that actually filed this initial lawsuit. Now, their names are Myron Smith, Demarius Jackson, Nate Walker, four guys rather, and Darius Williams. And the voice of the experienced, which is a membership made up of actual inmates, is who filed the lawsuit.
Right. Anytime you file a lawsuit, you're going to sue all the powers that be. And in this one, they're suing James LeBlanc, who is the head of the Department of Corrections, or they call it the secretary, but that means the president. Timothy Hooper, who is the warden for Louisiana State Penitentiary. Missy Stagg, in her official capacity as director of prison enterprises. And y'all, prison enterprises is where they ship all the vegetables and the milk and all that. They name the company, anything they grow. And they ship it to other prisons. So it's a huge savings for the state of Louisiana. They also are suing the Louisiana Department of Public Safety and Corrections and Prison Enterprises, Inc. So now this action challenges the unconstitutional, I'm actually reading from the lawsuit, y'all. This action challenges the unconstitutional and gratuitously harsh conditions of forced agricultural labor at the Louisiana State Penitentiary in Tunica, Louisiana. Built on the grounds of a former slave plantation, the penitentiary was and remains known as Angola. Reportedly, because the best enslaved people came from that African country. And today, Angola is an 18,000-acre penal plantation.
Yeah, and it's important to mention that this is obviously according to the voice of the experienced and these defendants. We don't necessarily agree with what's being said here. It's important to preface it with that. But every day in the state of Louisiana, they subject incarcerated men to cruel, inhumane, and degraded forced labor at Angola. Often overseen by armed guards, these individuals, most of whom are black, must walk or ride in the fields, sometimes carrying hoes and shovels, to dig ditches and pick plantation crops on the so-called farm line. Some are paid 2 cents an hour for their labor. Many are paid nothing at all. They are forced to work in extreme weather conditions without basic safety gear or modern agricultural equipment, even though the state has that equipment, under threat of serious harm if their work is unsatisfactory. This labor serves no legitimate penological or institutional purpose, and it's purely punitive, designed to break incarcerated men and ensure their submission.
Yeah, well, real quick on that. Your first 10 years in Angola, you work in the farmland.
Yeah.
And then you don't get to be a trustee anywhere. So, but continuing, the farmland is particularly and obviously dangerous during the summer months when the heat index in the Angola fields regularly reaches into the danger and extreme danger zones. Louisiana Department of Health has warned that heat exposure is intensifying as the frequency, severity, and the duration of extreme heat events increases due to climate change. These changes are particularly concerning in Louisiana, which experienced some of the highest average summer temperatures in the nation.
The combination of these intolerable and obviously dangerous conditions subject punitive class members to the substantial risk of serious psychological and physical harm, including life-threatening heat-related disorders due to their prolonged exposure to extremely dangerous heat indexes. These health risks are particularly acute for individuals with disabilities who should be excused from manual agricultural labor, but are not. People with certain chronic health conditions or who are taking certain medications have a decreased ability to regulate their body temperatures. These men are still forced to work the farm line. Notwithstanding their increased risk of illness or injury, they suffer severe injuries, unnecessary pain, loss of function, and psychological distress because of the state's failure to accommodate their disabilities and deliberate indifference to their serious medical needs.
Mm-hmm. And for incarcerated men who were not duly convicted by unanimous juries, these conditions of compulsory labor also violate the 13th Amendment's prohibition of involuntary servitude.
So what they're doing there is they're setting the stage, right, for what they're going to use as their argument. And it says the Associated Plaintiff, Voice of the Experienced, which is VOTE is the acronym for that, and its members, including plaintiffs Myron Smith, Demarius Jackson, Nate Walker, and Darius Williams, on behalf of themselves and all others similarly situated, bring this action to remedy the defendants of the farm line in violation of their Eighth Amendment right to be free of cruel and unusual punishment. So they're setting the Eighth Amendment as an argument as well as the 13th Amendment. So the lawsuit goes on and tells you a little bit about the voice of the experienced, which is VOTE. And it just basically says it's a grassroots nonprofit organization comprised of current and former incarcerated people. So that's important to note, including approximately 150 men who are currently incarcerated at Angola. The organization was established in 1987 by several men who were then incarcerated at Angola, including the executive director, a guy by the name of Norris Henderson. Vogt's work then and now is to seek, secure, and protect and advocate for the civil, constitutional, and human rights of its members, and it's dedicated to restoring full human and civil rights of those impacted by the criminal justice system. It's headquartered in New Orleans with chapters in Baton Rouge and Lafayette. And in addition, the organization has members in prisons throughout the state, including Angola.
Yeah, I'm going to join the club. But all right, let me tell you about one of the plaintiffs. And, you know, four of them on behalf of 150, that's just standard. Everybody can't get on this lawsuit, right? But plaintiff Myron Smith has been incarcerated in Angola since 1998, and defendants have subjected Mr. Smith to unsafe conditions of forced agriculture labor several times. He is currently forced to work on farm line 15B. Mr. Smith did not volunteer to work the farm line. He does so only to avoid serious harm and punishment. He has been exposed to inhumane conditions in violation of the Eighth Amendment. Mr. Smith is a representative of the class. Now, Myron's, is very popular in Angola for winning the Guts and Glory competition and the rodeo we told y'all about, is where they snatched the chip off the bull's head when they let him out.
Yep.
So, but, I mean, if you're going to file this, you're going to get people that more publicly known, I would guess.
And I do want to say that it's kind of important to note that, he's in pretty good shape. You want in Guts and Glory. And so we're gonna let you know what these guys, because look, for me, looking at this on the outside, number one, I want to know what you did to get in there. Let me see if I feel like you deserve to be out in that field. So we're going to talk about their crimes after we go through the lawsuit, but for now we will just not say anything. So plaintiff Demarius Jackson, he's been incarcerated at Angola since 2002. He is a person with a disability. Specifically, he has high blood pressure, which significantly impairs his ability to regulate temperature, basically, and subjects him to increased risk of severe harm in the heat and humidity of Angola. Mr. Jackson is currently forced to work on farm line 25. That work exceeds his strength and physical ability, causing him unnecessary pain and suffering, and has significantly worsened his medically serious pathological condition. Mr. Jackson has requested reasonable accommodations for his disability and is being denied those accommodations. He is also exposed to inhumane conditions in violation of the Eighth Amendment, and he obviously represents the class and the disability subclass of the lawsuit.
There you go, and that's number two. Now I'm going to tell you about plaintiff Nate Walker. Has been incarcerated in Angola since 2009. He is a person with a disability, and Mr. Walker suffers from high blood pressure, glaucoma, thyroid cancer, and depression. He also has a family history of sickle cell anemia. Defendants prescribe Mr. Walker medications, including levothyroxine, to manage his disabilities and serious medical conditions. Those conditions substantially limit Mr. Walker's major life activities, including his ability to stand, lift, bend, and otherwise engage in the intense manual agriculture labor that defendants require of him. That work exceeds Mr. Walker's strength and physical abilities, causes him unnecessary pain and suffering, and has significantly worsened his medically serious pathological conditions. Mr. Walker has requested reasonable accommodations for his disabilities and is being denied those accommodations. He is also exposed to inhumane conditions in violation of the Eighth Amendment. And Mr. Walker is a representative of the class and the disability subclass.
And then they have plaintiff Darius Williams. He is the fourth plaintiff, and he has been incarcerated at Angola since 2011. He was convicted by a non-unanimous jury in Caddo Parish Defendants have forced Mr. Williams to work on the farm line against his will and in unsafe conditions. And when Mr. Williams protested the dangerous and unsafe conditions of forced labor on the farm line, the defendants subjected him to lockdown or disciplinary confinement. He has been exposed to inhumane conditions in violation of the Eighth Amendment, and Mr. Williams is a representative of the class of nine and the non-unanimous jury subclass.
All right, so there you have your plaintiffs, right? But they're representing all these 150, however many it is. I'm sure it's probably more than that now. You know, but each one of them represents a different allegation in the suit, whether it's just medical or where it's, you know, whatever, you heard it, right? So then, but then let me tell you who they're suing. And I mentioned this in the beginning, I'm gonna touch on it briefly again. So the defendants, anytime an inmate files a suit, they file it against this guy. The defendant, James LeBlanc, is the secretary of Louisiana Department of Public Safety and Corrections, or the DOC, and is sued in his official capacity. And remember, y'all, when I worked there, it used to always mess me up. And when it said secretary, I'm thinking like a secretary, an office worker. But he's the head of the Department of Corrections. Moving on. Defendant Timothy Hooper is the warden of the Louisiana State Penitentiary in Angola and is sued in his official capacity. That's self-explanatory. Moving on, Department of Public Safety and Corrections, self-explanatory. And Defendant Prison Enterprises is a division of Louisiana's Department of Public of Safety and Corrections. Prison Enterprises directs agricultural and industrial programs at 8 Louisiana prisons, including Angola. So that's not only the vegetables, that's all everything they make all the way to the license plates.
And I'm going to tell you about the, you know, we've mentioned two amendments in particular. I'm going to tell you about the 13th Amendment, and that was enacted in 1865, and it states in part that either slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as punishment for a crime whereof the party shall have been duly convicted, shall exist within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction. The aim of the 13th Amendment was a system of completely free and involuntary labor throughout the United States. However, by permitting involuntary servitude as punishment for a crime whereof the party shall have been duly convicted. Now, that's one of their arguments, is they're obviously saying that this is forced labor.
It is. Well, Burroughs Cain used to say, religion is an option, work is not. I mean, that's what the law, they're enforcing the sentences handed down by the state of Louisiana.
So, and then just to go on from there, I'm going to tell you a little bit about the physical intricacies of Angola. And obviously, right, we told you in the past, it occupies 28 square miles, which is roughly the size of Manhattan. The area is divided into several compounds. The main prison complex consists of an east yard and a west yard.
Right.
The east yard has 16 minimum and medium security dormitories and one maximum custody extended lockdown cell block known as the dungeon. Now, that's the inmates call it the dungeon.
Right.
The dungeon housed long-term extended lockdown prisoners, in transit administrative segregation prisoners, and prisoners who need mental health attention and protective custody inmates. The main prison complex includes approximately 8 dormitories and 4 cell blocks, or what's known as disciplinary segregation cells. Individuals serving disciplinary time in the cell blocks and lockdown units have extremely limited human interaction. The extreme isolation and severe punishments all work to create a significant risk to harm to the mental and physical health of the people incarcerated at Angola, according to these people who sued Angola. Angola also has several out camps. Camp C includes 8 minimum and medium security dormitories, 1 administrative segregation and working cell block, and 1 extended lockdown cell block. Farm Line 15, among others, operates out of Camp C. Camp D has similar features to Camp C, but without extended lockdown cell blocks. And and all of those farm lines, 15B, 24, and 25, among others, operate out of Camp D.
Yeah, and like I told you before, they spread those camps out for security reasons, but also to make it easy for the inmates or the convicts to get to the field to do the work that they have been sentenced to. All right, continuing with the suit, the defendant's uniform policies and practices. Defendants operate each farm line, that being Angola, y'all, and the ones I just read to you, in the same manner and pursuant to the same uniform policies and practices. Defendant Prison Enterprises directs the agriculture program at Angola. It employs incarcerated people in various industrial, service, and agricultural positions. And as of 2019, nearly 30% of Prison Enterprises' incarcerated workforce were laboring in the fields. Prison Enterprises also sells incarcerated goods.
Hey, y'all, it may be moving towards the end of another summer, but that doesn't mean I can quit watching what I eat. We all know home-cooked meals are so much better for you, but you don't always have time to pull it off. But with HelloFresh handling all the meal planning, shopping, and most of the prep, it's easier than ever to get dinner on the table quick and painless. There's always new flavors to explore with an ever-changing menu of 50 recipes to choose from every week. Just pick your meals and your delivery date. It's that simple. With summer in the rearview mirror and busier days ahead, now is the perfect time to save money when it comes to your dinner routine. Skip the meal planning and grocery store lines and cut down on food waste with HelloFresh's convenient doorstep delivery and pre-measured ingredients. My favorite aspect of HelloFresh is the vast array of menu options. Look, I can burn out on eating the same things over and over again, but with HelloFresh, I don't ever run out of options. Y'all, I tried the spinach one pan chicken last week, and all I can say is my mouth is still watering. It was that good. For free breakfast for life, go to HelloFresh.com/freebloodyangola. One free breakfast item per box while subscription is active. That's free breakfast for life just by going to HelloFresh.com/freebloodyangola. HelloFresh is America's number one meal kit.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
In labor to state, parish, and local government and nonprofit organizations. It operates like a business, though it must also follow all the guidelines set forth by regulatory agencies, including the Office of State Procurement. In 2021 and 2022, incarcerated men forced to work under the direction of Prison Enterprises planted, grew, and harvested nearly 3,000 acres of wheat, corn, soybeans, cotton, and grain and sour gum at Angola. Prison Enterprises used some of those crops to feed its livestock and flight birds, but most were sold on the open market. By policy and practice, nearly every person who is transferred to Angola is assigned to the farm line at some point. After working in the field and remaining without a disciplinary write-up for 90 days, an incarcerated person can request a job change through his unit classification officer. People who apply for a job change are routinely rejected despite having perfect disciplinary records. Even after reassignment, a person who receives a disciplinary write-up may be sent back to the farm line as punishment. People have been transferred to the farm line by disciplinary board and by individual prison administrators for disciplinary infractions. And plaintiffs are forced to hoe, dig, and weed for hours, sometimes without access to clean drinking water. Breaks are uncommon. Shade and sanitary toilet facilities are nearly unheard of. Despite the availability of modern agriculture machinery, plaintiffs and class members are forced to pick plantation crops by hand or use outdated tools without training or standard protective gear. As described below, this work is particularly dangerous in the extreme heat and humidity of Louisiana's summers. People incarcerated in Angola must work at least 3 years before they are eligible for compensation, also called incentive pay. Then, and after 3 years of labor, they may be paid 2 cents an hour for their work, no matter their position, for at least 6 months. Now, Louisiana has among the lowest incentive pay rates for incarcerated people working in correctional industries. Prison Enterprises pays all incentive wages in the state prisons. Prison Enterprises could pay higher rates if it chose to. Now, Defendant LeBlanc could also set higher wages.
And some incarcerated people can opt for good time credits to reduce the length of their sentences, 2 days for every day worked, instead of receiving incentive pay. Others work in exchange for basic necessities like extra food. Incarcerated people are left with even less earned income because the state charges exorbitant rates for necessities like food, hygiene products, warm clothing, medications, and medical care. Angola's canteen or store is the only improved method for incarcerated people to purchase goods from outside on a daily basis. Well, what do you want them to do? Build up?
Right.
Starbucks. Yeah, I mean, yeah. What the hell? Prison Enterprises buys canteen items in bulks and then marks the items up by approximately 20% and resells them to correctional facilities. Then the correctional facilities charge another 33.3% markup on those items. From 2021 to 2022, Prison Enterprises conducted more than $30 million in industry, agriculture, and retail sales combined. Nearly 35% of that sum, more than $10.5 million, was from sales to canteens that the incarcerated people and their families depend on. Defendants, and then they get in, y'all, to the administration of the farm line and how there's psychological risk to these inmates. And it says defendants threaten incarcerated people with serious harm, including confinement to the dungeon, to prevent them from challenging the unsafe nature of their field work assignments. Pursuant to Angola's disciplinary matrix, failure to perform compulsory work with reasonable speed and efficiency could result in 5 days of disciplinary detention, forfeiture of 15 days of good time, 2 weeks confinement, and or inability to earn incentive wages for 3 months. In practice, failing to perform work with compulsory speed and efficiency encompasses a wide range of benign behavior.
Basically, what that means, y'all, if you're not keeping up with the line when you're in the field, they swing you to the hole, or they call it the dungeon.
Yeah.
So, and we told you about some of these foremen that tell you more. Aggravated work offenses include refusing to work, bucking up, asking to go to segregation rather than work, disobeying repeated instructions as to how to perform work assignments, even if the instructions make a person unsafe, and falling far short of fulfilling reasonable work quotas. Now, disciplinary infractions can also result in placement in disciplinary or solitary confinement for 30 days for the first offense and 180 days for a third offense. Individuals in disciplinary confinement are deprived of their personal property and contact with others. They are allowed out of their cells for only 1 hour daily to shower or exercise in a small kennel-like enclosure. Defendants have imposed indefinite segregation in response to nonviolent and minor rule violations, including failure to complete a job assignment. The risk of noncompliance include losing crucial connections with friends and family, losing access to essential food, privileges, recreation, and freedom of movement. Those who refuse to work also typically lose privileges, including access to personal telephone calls, family visitation, and access to the canteen to buy food, clothing, hygiene products, and other necessities. These conditions are dehumanizing, authoritarian, and punitive. This ensures that Angola is not only a painful place in which to live, but that the administration of its agricultural program is inherently coercive. A solitary confinement and disciplinary segregation subject every class member to a significant risk of serious harm. That harm includes psychological and physical damage that can be proved long-lasting and even fatal.
And then they get into the pointless labor in their mind of these tasks. And it says that Angola, many daily tasks assigned to incarcerated men on the farm line are designed to enforce powerlessness. For example, plaintiff and class members have been forced to dig holes and then refill them.
Move that rock, boy.
That reminds me of, I'll deviate real quick. I got in trouble one time when I was a kid. I forget what I did, but my dad told me to rake leaves in the backyard. So I raked like 20 bags of leaves. Mm-hmm. And then he went out and tore them all back open and told me to do it again.
That's funny. My dad did the same thing off, to my bed. And I skipped the first spring football practice, which I did every year. He was waiting and I lied to him. Anyway, he knocked the shit out of me, but then he took me in and he just said, now make your fucking bed up. And I made it. He said, you let me know when it's done. I made it so perfect. And I let him know. He ripped it all apart. It like 10 times, right?
Yeah.
He was making his point.
But yeah. So they're, you know,
dig a hole.
Dig and then refill the hole. And then some must goose pick, which is known as pull blades of grass by hand. Mm-hmm. Others must water crops using a styrofoam cup. This definitely is pointless labor. And it is humiliating and degrading. It is arbitrary and traumatic, an exercise of power. The farm line systematically treats plaintiffs and class members as deserving of little, if any, dignity. The farm line is not calculated to lead to gainful future employment, as the state has projected agriculture to have a decrease in future employment, and prison enterprises actually loses money because of its inefficient and outdated work methods, intentionally pointless labor, and reluctant to reclassify incarcerated individuals to jobs that offer more valuable work skills. Every person incarcerated in Angola, including plaintiffs and class members, is at substantial risk of substantial harm due to their extensive and continued exposure to high temperatures and heat indexes during the summer months in Louisiana. This is especially true for people with medical or mental health conditions that make them more susceptible to heat-related injuries, or who are taking certain medications that adversely affect their body's basically their body's ability to regulate temperature.
Yep. I get it. Continuing, the extreme heat and humidity in Angola's fields. The science is clear that prolonged exposure to high heat places people, even younger and healthier people, at serious risk of death or permanent physical injury. The risk of heat-related illnesses accelerates sharply when the heat index exceeds 88 degrees. I gotta stop for 1 second, Brian. I love it when it's 88 degrees. But anyway, right. The temperature in Angola fields regularly rises above 95, and the relative humidity regularly exceeds 92%. According to the local weather data tracked by the National Weather Service, by another measure, the heat index, i.e. the apparent temperature, which measures how hot it is, feels, regularly reaches into the danger and extreme danger zones. Okay. The New Orleans Baton Rouge office of the NWS, which covers Angola, issues heat advisories when the heat index reaches 108 degrees Fahrenheit or when the temperature reaches 103 degrees Fahrenheit. The NWS issues excessive heat warnings if the heat index reaches 113 or temperature reaches 105. Well, that's self-explanatory. It's going up. An excessive heat warning indicates that extreme heat and humidity will significantly increase the potential for heat-related illnesses, particularly for those working or participating in outdoor activities. This summer was the hottest on record, and experts agree that this extreme weather is a part of a long-term trend of human-driven warming. So they're trying to blame it all on global warming, Jim.
Yeah.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well, and we're going to tell you here that up until this point, they've been basically, this lawsuit's been setting it up for the judge to explain the generalized infractions of Angola. Then they get into the individual allegations, and we'll start with Myron Smith, one of the plaintiffs. And they say plaintiff Myron Smith has been incarcerated since 1998 in Angola. He has had various jobs, including being a yard orderly, a cook, and working on the range crew. On several occasions, defendants have forced Mr. Smith to engage in manual labor on the farm line, including in extreme heat and humidity. Sometimes, defendants reassign Mr. Smith to the farm line as punishment for disciplinary action. Defendants currently force Mr. Smith to work on farm line 15B out of Camp D. Approximately 10 men work on 15B on any given workday, though sometimes line 15B works alongside lines 24 and 25. Work call occurs every weekday around 6 a.m. Mr. Smith, along with punitive class members, work in the field starting at approximately 7. They are forced to walk or take a bus to the work site where officers known as free men assign them tasks. That manual labor includes picking crops, cutting grass, and sometimes doing maintenance chores. Mr. Smith is sometimes provided a weed eater, but other times he is forced to use his hand to complete his tasks. Mr. Smith and the class members have also been forced to engage in humiliated and punitive make work. For example, in 2023, prison officials gave Mr. Smith a 5-gallon bucket and a styrofoam cup and forced him to hand water rows of watermelons. This was physically painful and difficult work, Woody Overton, particularly because of the extreme hot and humid weather in the fields. Mr. Smith, along with punitive class members, have also been forced to hand-pick grass. Mr. Smith could not refuse to do this make work without risking disciplinary action or serious harm. The working conditions are harsh. The drinking water is dirty in a moldy cooler that often contains dead insects. There is no break. Breaks are rare. There is no shade. And armed guards patrol the field, sometimes riding four-wheelers. There is often no place to use the bathroom. On the rare occasion that toilet facilities are available, they are extremely unsanitary. Mr. Smith, like all class members, has not provided sunscreen, proper work gloves, proper boots, sunglasses, or other safety equipment to safely work in the fields. Instead, he has been issued black rubber boots, which cause painful blisters and provide inadequate protection for the elements. Like others in the class, Mr. Smith has had to buy his own work boots at significant expense for basic safety. Mr. Smith, like all other class members, has been forced to work in the extreme heat and humidity. That's caused him serious physical harm, including symptoms of heat-related illness. He often feels woozy, dehydrated, and dizzy while conducting compulsory manual labor in the fields. Once, in approximately 2021, Mr. Smith was working line 15B when his muscle seized up. An emergency medical tech instructed Mr. Smith simply drink more water and rest instead of being taken inside to cool off. Mr. Smith was forced to sit in the field in the hot sun for the rest of the shift. Mr. Smith did not volunteer to work the farm line. I guess he didn't. Right. He did not choose to participate in Angola's program of compulsory agricultural labor. He only does so to avoid serious harm and punishment like disciplinary confinement, loss of phone time, loss of access to loved ones, and loss of canteen access.
I should have thought about that before you murdered and raped them.
I'm thinking.
All right, let's go to Darius Williams. Might split these up for y'all, but Darius Williams, plaintiff Darius Williams, has been incarcerated in Angola since 2011. Like all members of the NUJ subclass, Mr. Williams was convicted by a non-unanimous jury. And you know what they're trying to do on that, like just like the Ryan Sharp thing.
Yep.
But on several occasions, defendants have forced Mr. Williams to engage in manual labor on the farm line, including in extreme heat and humidity. Defendants have also reassigned Mr. Williams to the farm line as punishment for alleged disciplinary infractions. Mr. Williams has been forced to work on the farm line several times. He would report to the call out around 6 a.m. every morning, along with dozens of others. They would walk into the fields or ride an old school bus where they would pick crops starting at 7 a.m. Defendants forced Mr. Williams, along with the others on the farm line, to engage in heavy manual labor in the fields, even when there was a heat advisory. Like all members of the class, Mr. Williams is not provided with sunscreen, proper work gloves, proper work boots, sunglasses, or other equipment necessary to safely work in the fields. And defendants have confined Mr. Williams to lockdown or disciplinary confinement for protesting the dangerous and unsafe conditions of forced labor on the farm line.
And we'll tell you about Nate Walker. And plaintiff Nate Walker, he's been incarcerated at Angola since 2009. Like all the members of the disability subclass, he is a person with disabilities. He suffers from high blood pressure, glaucoma, thyroid cancer, and depression. He also has a family history of sickle cell anemia. These conditions substantially limit his major life activities, including his ability to stand, lift, bend, and otherwise engage in intense manual agriculture. Defendants prescribe Mr. Walker medications for those disabilities. In apparent recognition that Mr. Walker's disabilities and serious medical conditions limit his major life activities, including his ability to regulate his own temperature, defendants have provided Mr. Walker with a temporary duty status. That status is provided because Mr. Walker takes medications that cause heat-related side effects. His duty status from May to October is regular duty with restriction. Indoors, no kitchen duty, no sports. Mr. Walker is still forced to engage in intense manual agricultural labor at all other times, including earlier this year when there were heat advisories. The work exceeded his strength and physical abilities, causing him unnecessary pain and suffering, and has significantly worsened his medical serious pathological conditions. Mr. Walker has requested reasonable accommodations for those disabilities, including a permanent duty status, so he will not be forced to work on the farm line, and he is being denied those accommodations.
There you go. And number four, Demarius Jackson. Plaintiff Demarius Jackson has been incarcerated in Angola since 2002. And like all members of the disability subclass, Mr. Jackson is a person with a disability. He suffers from high blood pressure, which significantly impairs his ability to thermoregulate and subjects him to an increased risk of severe harm in the heat and humidity of Angola's fields. Prison officials know about Mr. Jackson's condition and prescribe him Valsartan to manage it. Mr. Jackson is currently forced to work on Farmline 25, and on any given day, the work crew includes approximately 20 other incarcerated men. Every weekday, Mr. Jackson reports to work call out around 6 a.m. He either walks or takes a bus to the field where an officer or free man assigns tasks to Mr. Jackson. Like the class members, he seeks to represent typically works. He works in the fields starting at 7 a.m. Like every farm line, defendants do not generally provide line 25 with tools or equipment to use in the fields. Instead, the prison officials force Mr. Jackson and the punitive class members to use their hands to cultivate crops like squash, zucchini, and okra. Mr. Jackson has not been provided with sufficient gloves and protective work boots, sunscreen, sunglasses, a sun hat, or other equipment necessary to safely work in the fields. And for Mr. Jackson, like all members of the class and the disability subclass, the heat and humidity in the fields are unbearable. And when working outside on the farmland, Mr. Jackson has often suffered from symptoms of heat-related illnesses. He has felt dehydrated, lightheaded, dizzy, and chilled despite the extreme heat and humidity. He has suffered from muscle aches and headaches. These symptoms are worse in the extreme heat and humidity. Forced manual labor in Angola's plantation fields exceeds Mr. Jackson's strength and physical abilities, causing him unnecessary pain and suffering. He has requested reasonable accommodations for his disability in the form of permanent duty status and is being denied those accommodations. It seems, y'all, some of that is repetitive, but each one has a little bit something different. That there's throwing all this mud against the wall, hoping they're going to get something to stick. And
that's right.
And they probably will to a certain extent, but they're not expecting to get all this. But, you know, the truth of the matter of bees is they're in there for a reason. And I'm sure we'll get to that in the next episode.
Look, this case is going to surprise you at the end.
Yeah.
That's all we're going to tell you on this episode. So thank you for listening. Follow us on social media. Yep. Thank you to all the patron members.
Absolutely. Couldn't do it without you. Love y'all. Thank you for tuning in, liking, and listening, and sharing. We really, really, really appreciate it. Stay tuned. Well worth listening to.
100%. Right. And until next time, I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Woody Everton.
We are your host of Bloody
Angola,
a podcast 142 years in the making.
Complete story of America's bloodiest prison.
Peace.
I walk a straight line, shackled and chained. Oh, gruesome Gertie is calling my name. There is no mercy in this penitentiary. Just ask the Hill String Gang, Wrangler of Three.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.